Ah, Christmas. The time of year we celebrate the birth of Santa. Oh, I mean Jesus. Oh, oops, sorry about that. Those two have so much in common, I'm afraid I often get them confused. I mean, we usually think of them as both having beards and being surrounded by happy little children scurrying about. They both have quite an uncommon last name that starts with C. And what's with all the nicknames? They both have a ton of nicknames like Father Christmas, Prince of Peace, Saint Nicholas, Emmanuel, and so on. Speaking of names, does anybody else find it odd that they both somehow know everyone's name? And not just that, I hear they both like to keep detailed records on all of us. But they both seem like pretty generous guys, which is probably why we flood both of them with wish lists and then desperately hope they come through for us. The more I think of it, though, I guess there are a few important differences. For example, I don't think Jesus was known for wearing velvet, but Santa seems to be obsessed with it. Plus, no one has ever accused Jesus of breaking in through the chimney and eating all the cookies. In the end, I keep going back to Santa's naughty or nice distinction. If we're being totally honest, we'll probably find ourselves hoping Santa isn't too strict, or at least we hope he's grading on a curve. Jesus, on the other hand, came because none of us are nice enough. Of course, we keep trying to convince others and ourselves otherwise. Ultimately, Santa is about me and the stuff I so desperately want. But Jesus is about something more. The grace I so desperately need. Come to think of it, maybe they don't have that much in common after all.
A really warm welcome to everyone who's visiting us tonight. It's great that you can come and celebrate Christmas with us. And I'm sure there are many excited children here tonight and some adults like myself who are counting down the next 11 hours, 52 minutes and 27 seconds until we can open all those presents under the Christmas tree. But I realised this week that there are so many of our presents in about 6 months' time will be a bit faded, a bit rusty, and that PlayStation 3 that we really, really want will be superseded by a PlayStation 4. And it's then that we realise how much we need to accept the greatest gift that we can ever be given, that is, Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Saviour, who became flesh and lived on earth, who died for our sins and rose again in glory. In him we have forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus is the gift that will never spoil or fade, the most precious gift that we shall ever receive in our lives. If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing together. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the
flesh, the Godhead sing.
Song, which is Silent Night, we're going to have a magic show for all the kids. So if any of the children want to make their way to the front during the next song, then they'll all be ready for it. Oh, we've got some early starters. If you'd like to continue singing, we're going to sing Silent Night.
Well, hello, girls and boys and berries. Man, I'm excited tonight because a friend of mine called Harry Houdini, he gave me an early Christmas present. Yeah, it's so cool. Would you like to see it? Ah, so I'm pleased about that, man. When I first saw it, it looked a little bit weird, but he told me it was something very special. And I thought, how can this be special? Because all it is, it's a nice tube with Christmas colours on it. Well, that's interesting, but there's nothing in it. And he also gave me a black tube, and that was full of emptiness. What a weird present. But he said the outer tube, this colour tube is called the outer tube. And it's called the outer tube because it goes on the outside of the inside tube, and the inside tube is called the inner tube because it goes on the inside of the outer tube. And I thought, what a weird present. But Harry said, if you wave your hand over the top, all the things that you like about Christmas will start to appear. So I thought, I'll give it a go. And I waved my hand over the top. And it was right. Do you know what I like about Christmas? It started to appear. I like presents. And some presents started to appear. And you know what? There's something that I like more than presents. You know what that is? No, more presents. So I waved my hand over the top. I reached in and, oh, look, there were more presents there. But girls and boys, there's something that I like more than more presents. You know what that is? Well, let me tell you, it's more and more presents. So I waved my hand over the top and reached in. Oh, yeah, I love presents. But you know what, girls and boys? There's something that I like, something else that I like about Christmas. You know what that is? Well, I waved my hand over the top and sure enough, they started to appear. And I also like decorations. And I thought, oh, wow. But there's something that I like more than decorations. You know what that is? More decorations! That's right, Riley! Yes! More decorations! Oh, yes! Hey, Riley, there's something that I like more than more decorations, though. You know what that is? More and more decorations! So I waved my hand over the top and I reached in. Oh, wow! Yes, there were more decorations there. And not only that, there was even some more and more and more decorations. And I thought, and I said, well, that's not such a bad present after all, even though it's a coloured outer tube full of emptiness and a black inner tube full of nothingness. But you know what, girls and boys? I love presents and I love decorations. There's something that I like even more about Christmas. So I waved my hand over the top, and sure enough, you see, what I like best of all is that on that very first Christmas, a young woman called Mary, that's right, Mary went with her husband, whose name was Joseph, yeah. Who said Jesus? Back to Sunday school. That's right. It was there in a little town called Bethlehem that Mary gave birth to Jesus. That's right. And you know what? Jesus was the King of all kings, the creator of this universe and this whole world. And he came down, he gave it all up because he loves you and he loves me. And they placed him in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a food trough. Man, oh man. The King of all kings gave everything up he had for you and for me. And you know what? God was so excited when Jesus was born that he sent a very special messenger called an angel. And the Bible tells us the angels filled the sky. Wouldn't you love to have been there, looked up and seen those angels up there? And the interesting thing, girls and boys, is that when God sent the angels to announce the birth of the King of Kings, he told some humble shepherds. He could have told rulers and kings and princes, but he told some shepherds. And you know what? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. And you know what? It's interesting that right at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly life, God linked his birth with his death as that sacrificial lamb. And I love that about Christmas because God loves us. And I thought it was interesting that all that came from a tube, outer tube full of nothingness, and an inner tube full of a great big Christmas tree. Yeah. It was awesome. I like you. But you know what? God is even more awesome, Mama, than all of that because he loves us. And that's something to give thanks for. Let's pray right now. Father, we want to thank you for the fact that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus on that very first Christmas so that he might die as that sacrificial lamb on that very first Easter. Thank you for that, Father. Help us to believe in Jesus, for we pray in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you, girls and boys.
Now, all children are welcome to stay during the service, but we also have a creation preschool program going on during the service. So if children under 3 would like to go to the playtime room, and children between 3 and 5 years old can also be taken to the hall. And there's also some activity sheets with pens and pencils and colouring in things up the back of the church for any school-aged children who want to do that during the service. And we might stand again and sing together. The First Noel.
The first Bible reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, which is on page 725 in the Red Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
For a bed.
on this Christmas Eve, we're going to take some time to pray. So would you let me lead you in prayer? Eternal God, our Father in heaven, it is with real joy that we have gathered this Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We thank you for this Christmas season, the time when we specifically remember Jesus. Father, help us to remember the reason Jesus came to this earth, that is, to restore the relationship between people and yourself. May we be a people restored in a relationship with you. Help us to understand the importance of his birth, and help us to be mindful and thankful for his later death on the cross and for his glorious resurrection. May we gratefully receive this special gift you have offered us. May we respond to your love with enthusiasm and sincere commitment this Christmas season. Our loving and merciful God, this Christmas Eve, we want to pray for others. Father, we acknowledge the difficulties in many nations on this earth, and we pray for those countries which experience war, conflict, terror, and other troubles. We ask that you would give discernment to peacemakers, that terrorists would be brought to justice, and that the oppressed will receive true justice. We pray for peace and harmony in our world. We pray for those suffering drought, famine, and other environmental calamity worldwide. We pray for wise government in those places. We pray for the work of the many aid agencies that work throughout this world, endeavouring to alleviate suffering of all sorts. Bless their work, we pray. We pray for the safety of Australian soldiers serving overseas to preserve peace in other countries. We pray for their safety and protection. We pray for peace in our own nation. We pray for harmony between people of different cultural backgrounds. We pray that the Church of Jesus Christ will model what it means to love and work in harmony with others, irrespective of background. We pray for our political leaders as they govern our country. Grant them clear discernment and great wisdom in their decision-making, we pray. Even though the Christmas season is one of celebration and happiness, there are those who struggle at this time. We pray for those in prison, for those who are homeless, for those in hospital, for those who are shut in, for those suffering major illness, for those suffering the effects of broken marriages or difficult family or work situations. Father, please encourage them and touch their hearts in some special way. We also pray for those who have suffered the recent personal loss of a loved one or some other significant loss. In their struggles, may they each turn to you for strength, for meaning and purpose. Give them comfort and courage at this time. Father, we pray for the safety of those travelling during this holiday season. We ask that all those travelling would do so with safety and forethought of those around about them. Father, we also pray that spiritual revival will fall in our cities and on our towns and on individuals. We ask that people would turn to you, the Creator God, the Provider of all things, that they would acknowledge you for who you are, the Eternal God. Almighty God, through this Christmas season, help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth, and obey your word, that we may honour you in all we do. Renew us by your Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to be taking up an offering during our next song, and all that's collected from this offering will be going to Baptist World Aid Australia, and it will be sent overseas to many of the developing countries to help those who are poor and in need of our grace. And we're going to stand and sing Once in Royal David City as we do that.
Once in Royal David City stood a lonely cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a store.
The second reading this evening is from Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 40. It's on page 725, and it'll also be on the overhead. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time for their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Sure. soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day cure the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm in his hand? Did you know? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you?
If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing again, sing Joy to the World.
Friends, it's lovely to have you here with us tonight as we celebrate Christmas. And I was just thinking, just before I got up, this is my 12th Christmas in this community. It's great to be part of this community and presenting the message of Jesus to not just this community, but across Sydney and across the world as by being part of this church and this community. I want to pray that God would speak to us about Christmas and that we would go away changed as a result of tonight, not simply that we have sung songs, that we've heard some great items that have taken us to the person of Jesus, but that God would speak to us, speak to our very hearts with truth, that we would walk out different. Father God, thank you that you're a God who speaks, and you entered our world through your son Jesus 2,000 years ago, and that you continue to speak through your word by the power of your spirit about your son Jesus and all he can do for us. Father, I thank you for all that have gathered here tonight, and I ask that in your mercy and your grace, you would touch our lives and change us. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. It hasn't been a good end of the year, 2008, has it? Let me just remind you, someone said we've never seen anything like it in our lifetime. A global financial crisis and a severe economic downturn. Superannuation funds have lost 20% in the past year. The stock market is down by 50%. If you had $500,000 invested, you now have $250,000. That's quite a hit. In the United States and Britain, house prices have dropped by 30%. There's been an increase in unemployment, and they are telling us, we are telling us in Australia that 2009 will get worse. World governments are frantically working together to try to change the situation. They've bailed out banks and major corporations. Our Prime Minister, thankfully, gave us some money, or at least some of us some money, and said, spend, spend, spend. And I think Australians have been spending, 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 and maybe saving a little bit also. People are cutting back on their spending. They're taking shorter and less expensive holidays. They are cutting back also on donations to charities and overseas aid agencies. And fear and anxiety is on the increase. But not only that do they tell us, as I read my newspapers and watch television, wars continue across the globe, terrorists continue to attack innocent victims, for example, Mumbai, the poor keep losing out, teenagers stab each other in trains, depressed people take their own lives, marriages come crumbling down. And friends, even in sport, on a more mundane area, the Kiwis, of all people, beat us in the Rugby League World Cup final, and then we lose the unlosable cricket match to the South Africans this week. Thank God it's Christmas. We need some good news, don't you think, after all of that? And I tell you, Christmas is good because after all the frenetic shopping and buying, and I hope you've bought all your gifts by now and you're ready for it, but you just want to stop and say, give me a breather. Can this year get any better? Well, at least the next year, hopefully, it will be a little bit better. But friends, one of the good things about Christmas is that it forces us to stop. Now, I remember a couple of weeks ago at our Christmas fair and carols event at Peakhurst Public School, where many of you were there, about 2,300 people gathered for an event of love, joy and peace. And all across our nation, people are stopping and coming to services and going to carols events because they're saying, tell me something positive for once. And one woman said to me the next day, she said, I enjoyed it so much, it was peaceful and relaxing. Another person said, I enjoyed it so much, I'm going to start coming to church next year. Still another said, there is something about Jesus and his church, and next year I'm going to start bringing my children to kids' club. There's something, isn't there, when we stop and think about a God who loves us and a God who entered our world and our experience in his son Jesus, who says, I've come to bring you hope in the midst of what seems to be a hopeless situation. Christmas. We shop. I was going to say till we drop. We exchange gifts. We eat with family. We take holidays. We take a moment to reflect on life. And we remember there's a God who loves us. And sometimes, friends, in life, you just need to stop and take a breather, don't you? Don't do anything else. Don't shop. Don't worry about what's going to happen after this service. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about who you have to drive where. Just stop. Remember God. Remember that little babe that we've been singing about, who came as the saviour of the world. the quietness of that field, the shepherds coming, although the angels were pretty loud, obviously, all of a sudden, there is hope. You know, the Bible says in that passage that was read to us, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news," we could do with that, "of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And friends, you have to understand that the Jewish people were waiting for this Saviour for generations. God said a king would come, a Saviour would come. He would turn things around, and finally, the Saviour comes. Finally, the king is born, a rescuer who will rescue us, the Bible says. Not from a global financial crisis, not from war or terrorism, not from racism, or not from shopping. He will rescue us, the Bible says, from our sins and our failures. He will rescue us. Now, a lot of people don't realise that they need rescuing, and maybe you've been in a situation where you needed rescuing. Maybe you were drowning, or maybe you're in a car accident and somebody needed to save you, and you realise that you needed rescuing. But a lot of us don't realise we need rescuing from the judgment coming upon our sins. Let me tell you a story that Christian author Max Lucado tells in his book, He Still Moves Stones. I want you to picture he's on an aeroplane. He's waiting for the aeroplane to take off. And he says, this is what he writes. "She nearly missed the flight. This woman came puffing down the aisle, dragging two large bags," he says. And she says, "I hate to fly. I put off getting here as long as I can." He said, "You almost put it off too long." He writes, "She was tall, young, blonde, tanned, and talkative. Her jeans were fashionably ripped at the knees, and her black boots boasted silver tips. She really did hate to fly, I learned, and the way she coped with flying was by talking. She said, 'I'm going home to see my dad. He'll really be amazed at my tan. He thinks I'm crazy living in California, me being single and all that. And I've got this new boyfriend, he's from Lebanon. He travels a lot though, so I only see him on weekends, which is fine with me because that gives me the house to myself. And it isn't far from the beach,' and on and on and on she went. She coped with her not wanting to fly by talking. He said, 'I've learned a lot about what to do when a friendly, attractive woman sits beside me on an aeroplane. I reveal my profession and my marital status.' He says, 'I said, my wife hates to fly too. And so I know how you feel. And since I'm a minister, I know a section of the Bible you might like to read as we take off.' So I pulled out my Bible from my briefcase and opened it to Psalm 23. For the first time, she was quiet. She said, 'The Lord is my shepherd.' She says, she read the words, then looked up with a broad smile. She says, 'I remember this. I read it when I was young.' She turned to read some more. The next time she looked up, there was a tear in her eye. She said, 'It's been a long time, a really, really long time since I read that. When I was young, I used to go to church. When I was young, I read verses like that. But I can't remember the last time I went to church.' Max says, 'We talked about faith and second chances. I asked her if I could ask her a question. She said I could. I said, 'Do you believe in heaven?' 'Yes,' she said. 'Do you think you'll go there?' She looked away for a moment, then turned and answered confidently, 'Yeah, yeah, I'll be in heaven.' Then he said, 'How do you know?' Became quiet. 'How do I know that I'm going to end up in heaven?' She formulated her response, he says. He said, 'I knew what she was going to do. She was going to give me her list.'" Her list, L-I-S-T. He said, "Everyone has a list." And she said this, "Well, I'm basically good. I don't smoke more than a pack a day. I exercise. I'm dependable at work." She counted each achievement on a finger. "And I made my boyfriend get tested for AIDS." So that was her list, her qualifications. By her way of thinking, heaven could be earned by good health habits and safe sex. Her line of logic was simple. "I keep the list on earth and I get the place in heaven." He then writes, "But lest we be too hard on her, let me ask you a question. What's on your list? Most of us have one. Most of us are like the girl on the plane. We think we are basically good, decent, hard-working folk. Most of us have a list to prove it. Maybe yours doesn't include cigarettes or AIDS, but you have a list. I pay my bills. I love my spouse and my kids. I attend church. I'm better than Hitler." Well done. "I'm basically good. So we all have a list. We think, why should God let me into heaven? I think, well, if I do all these things, I'm a decent person. God should just give me a ticket to heaven. He says, most of us have a list. There's a purpose for that list, to prove that we are good. But there's a problem with the list. Not one of us is good enough. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is no one who always does what is right, not even one, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the standards of God. And so therefore we have a problem. It doesn't matter how good we are, how successful we are, we still fall short of God's standards, which is perfection. So what happens then? How do we get saved? If none of us make the grade, if we all fall short, if we're all sinners, and we come to Christmas, don't we? Jesus came to save us from our sins. You see, the rescuer came because there was a problem. We were in terrible trouble and we needed a rescuer to deal with our sins and our failures and our problems, to say, I die for you on the cross. I wipe away your sins. You can be my friends now. You can have a way back to heaven. About 20 years ago, I was at Gerringong Beach with a bunch of high school students from Marrickville High School and some other schools in the inner city. And those kids never listened to anything we told them as leaders. And so we headed off to the beach in the morning, and a couple of the girls went straight into the water. There are no lifeguards at this beach. There are no flags at this beach. There are rips all over this beach. And they walk right into that, and they get sucked out by the rip right, 50, 100 metres away. And you see, they are in terrible trouble, but they don't know it. Because I looked up, they're just swimming away, happily chatting about girly stuff, whatever they talk about. There they were, just small. But you see, one of the sisters saw them and went, they're in a rip. So she decided she's going to swim out into the rip. Bad move. And then she was starting to drown. Well, her sister was out there just swimming away, out there 100 metres out in the ocean somewhere. So someone else then followed her in. Fortunately, he was strong enough and he grabbed her, the sister, and got her back to shore. We ended up taking her to hospital later just to check her out. The other two were just swimming out there. So a lot of people think, oh, I'm a good person, life is good. If I die, God will just let me into heaven. They thought they were safe. They had the sun, they had the surf, they were with their friends, everything seemed good. But friends, if a rescuer had not gone to get them, and you'll be pleased to know, good news story, we found some guys with surfboards, they went out there and they dragged them back. But you see, if we didn't have a rescuer to go and save them, although they thought they were safe, although they thought life was good, out in the sun, in the beach, if we'd left a little bit longer, they would have tired, and in time, they would have drowned. And when we saw that they were in need, you know what we did? We just ran to find someone with a surfboard. We got two guys, they went out, they said, guys, we need you out there now. And they didn't know they were in trouble. They needed a rescuer. Friends, most Australians, I reckon, don't know that they need a rescuer. Most Australians love singing about the baby Jesus. He's a great king, a saviour. They don't know that they're in terrible trouble. They need rescuing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus came to offer us life. The Bible says Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you back to God. And friends, I want to tell you some good news. You know, this year, there are people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. We have children who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the first time and now Christians and are going to heaven because Jesus died for them. There are teenagers who, at the beginning of this year, were not Christians, today are Christians. There are young adults who were not Christians. There are mothers and fathers who are not Christians who today are Christians because the message of Jesus has transformed their lives. There are seniors who once were not Christians and are Christians. Friends, there are people who are atheists at the beginning of this year, and some were agnostics at the beginning of this year. Others belong to other religions like Islam and Judaism, who are followers of Jesus Christ today. The message of Jesus transformed lives today, and transforms lives around the world. And I want to urge you to embrace that message and then proclaim it to others. Proclaim it to others. But not only in Australia, they've come towards the end, I want you to proclaim it around the nations. We're a church here at Ngawi Baptist who are committed not to simply taking the message of Jesus to our local community, but to the nations of the earth. And we have workers right across the globe and in a variety of countries. And in the midst of an economic downturn, think what happens? You know, an economic downturn, people save their money. They don't give it away to the poor. They don't give it away to those who are starving overseas. They don't give it away to missionaries. They hold on to it a little bit more. One writer, John Piper, who's the pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, United States, writes this: "The worst of all times, economic downturn, is the best of all times for missions." Let me give you four things that he says. During an economic downturn, we are more dependent on God. That is the most fertile soil for creating missionaries. If you love Jesus, give your life to him. Number two, during an economic downturn, the people of the world who are not yet Christians do not expect you to go to them. They expect you to look after yourself. So they may be more likely to see your risk as love rather than exploitation. Thirdly, during an economic downturn, those who need Christ around the world may be less secure in earthly things and more ready to hear about eternal life. And friends, I think that's true in Australia. When their money's taken away, when you lose your job, when you don't have everything that you need, you start to think about life and about eternity and about more important things. Mark Driscoll is an American pastor who was in Australia a few months ago. I heard him speak at the Sydney Entertainment Centre. 10,000 people packed that auditorium that night. This one thing I remember, the most important thing I think that I took with me after hearing him speak, he said this: most Australians ignore Jesus, he says, because they think Sydney is a good enough heaven. Let me say that again. Most Australians, and at least people in Sydney at least, say we have such a beautiful city, so much affluence, so much money, beautiful beaches, beautiful landscape. Most Australians ignore Jesus because Sydney is a good enough heaven for most Sydneysiders, who think that's all there is. But when it gets taken away, financial crisis, economic downturn, the death of a loved one, all of a sudden we make to stop and to think about God and eternity. Could it be that God has allowed our nation and our world to go through an economic downturn to force us to stop chasing the money, stop chasing the big houses, stop chasing the fast cars, stop chasing the overseas trips, to stop for a moment and think about what really, really matters? Relationship with God, relationship with one another. Friends, Jesus came to rescue us from our sins, to offer us forgiveness and a new life. I hope you embrace that message this Christmas and find hope for all of eternity. Friends, let me say, if you want to know some more about what I've said tonight, we have this little book for free. It's called The Essential Jesus. Read the Gospel of Jesus for yourself. There's a visitor's notice board back there. We've just got a whole bunch of these. Inside it, you read about the life of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke as an introduction and a conclusion. It'll give you a bit of a summary of the message of the Bible. It won't take you that long to read. It's free. Take it. If you don't know much about Jesus, please take it. It's our gift to you this Christmas. We hope you enjoy that.
Savior has been born, and all of
If you'd like to stand with us, we're going to sing our final song tonight, which is Angels We Have Heard on High.
Friends, may God bless you and your families this Christmas time. May God bless you into the new year. On behalf of the pastoral team, I just wanted to wish you all the best for Christmas and the new year. It's been lovely serving with you this year and ministering together in this community. God bless you. Have a great time. Celebrate, not too hard, but celebrate well, party well. And we hope you have a wonderful time with your families over the next couple of days. God bless you.